10 years old is now the average age in America when kids get their first cell phone. 10 years old. And so it won't surprise you to know that 95% of young people in America have a cell phone, or at least access to one. And 20% of 3- and 4-year-olds are online now. And by the time they get to 10, just a few years later, that number grows to half of them. 50% say, of teenagers say, they're online constantly. You didn't need a statistic to tell you that, right? We complain about it all the time. And the truth is, teenagers average 9 hours a day, average 9 hours a day staring at their screens. Their younger siblings are not far behind. 8 and 12 year olds are now up to 6 hours a day. Here's why that's important. 11 years old is now the average age that kids see pornography online for the very first time. And by the time they graduate, almost all the boys have. And a sizable number of the girls. Now, connecting those two statistic sets together, porn among kids is viewed typically through the internet using their cell phone. Do you see it? And 62% of young people have received a text message with an explicit image. More disturbing is that a growing number say that they have sent a picture like that. Parents say that they are very aware and plugged in to their kids' online activity. And what I think is the most interesting statistic of all, not a lot of their kids agree with that. So, question, do those numbers freak you out a little bit? I bet they don't. When I began to try to think about saying some things about young people and their online activities, I first anticipated that there would be a need to spend a lot of time talking about the numbers and what they say to us about the danger. But candidly, the more I thought about that and the conversations I've had with lots and lots of parents, it occurred to me that you guys already know that. That we're all aware that kids are online a lot. We gripe about that all the time as we look at our own screens. And we know that there are lots of dangers out there, from pornography to predators to skeptics who are putting YouTube videos online designed to undermine the faith of our kids. We know what the danger is. And so to spend a bunch of time running through these stats and talking about what they mean seems to me to be unnecessary. Maybe the more important thing as a church family is to think about how we live apart and above from our culture, above our culture, and address this with our young people. So that's really where I'd like to go this morning, more thinking of terms of what we do in light of the grave danger. So I want to use this morning a text from Paul's letter to the Ephesians as kind of the ground from which we'll build today. Remember that in Ephesians 6:4, Paul says to fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I really want us, in the context of these terrible dangers that we all know lurk out there for our kids online, I want us to think about those two words, bringing up our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and to ponder how we act on that instruction to prepare our kids for this. Awareness is certainly a piece of this. We need to know the danger that is out there. But then once we're aware of it, how do we train our kids to be holy in the face of a threat like this? What I'm hoping for is to do some equipping today. I think that's the text, the challenge we have with our kids is to equip them to face the challenge. So in an effort to help us do that, let's ponder how we equip them for this. Let me begin by saying that I think there is a teaching piece to this equipping process. Moses inspires me to say that. If you would go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, we had more time to sort of linger over this context. You would find that Moses' concern here, as he is about to die, is that future generations would be faithful to the Lord. He's been leading these people for a while now. He has a right to be concerned about their future faithfulness. And so as he talks about that, he talks to parents, picking up in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart." And then look at verse 7. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So as Moses thinks about future generations continuing to keep the covenant, he talks to parents and he says, there is a teaching role for you here. You need to teach your kids and you need to talk about this all the time when you're just hanging out around the house or when you're out going somewhere together. Talk about this. Keep this in front of your family all of the time. And it just occurs to me how relevant that really old message continues to be today, isn't it? Things haven't changed very much. As moms and dads, we need to embrace the role as primary teacher in the lives of our children. We're not the taxi service to get our kids to the building so they can be taught, brothers and sisters. If anything, the teaching that goes on here is this little tiny supplement to the great bulk of teaching that mom and dad ought to be doing all the time at home. We are their teachers. And in light of the dangers online that we all acknowledge are present, that's something that needs to be covered in this teaching responsibility. And because we know a lot of young people are just falling into this trap of being consumed with this digital life, we know that we need to be talking about this all the time. This needs to be part of a regular dialogue going on in our house with our kids. So what should that teaching include? What should we be saying to our kids about this? Can I begin with something obvious? We need to teach them the Bible. I mean, I think that is the ground from which all the rest of our teaching grows. We root it in the Word of God. We keep bringing them back to God. And so with regard to their online activities, what kinds of things does God say? How long y'all want to stay this morning? Can I have some of your time? Because we can go on with this for a while, right? Can I just throw out a few places for you to work a whole lot more than we will today? I thought first about this passage in Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Isn't that one of the primary concerns we have when we think about kids' online activity, the possibility they're going to stumble into some stuff that will corrupt their hearts? I think we need to talk to kids about their hearts and that danger and the need to protect their hearts. And then I also thought about the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:28 when he talks about looking and lusting and how when a man does that, he's already committed adultery with a woman in his heart. And doesn't that have some relevance? Isn't that sort of fundamentally what is wrong with pornography? It involves looking and lusting. And so that's a principle we need to pull out and talk to our kids about. And how about just this stuff about time? We talked a few weeks ago at this passage from Ephesians 5 where Paul urges us to walk as wise people, walk in wisdom and don't be fools, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And so time is a piece of the challenge we're facing with their online activities. There's a great passage in the writings of Paul that help us with that. And I thought too about this proverb in Proverb 22 and verse number 1. It talks about the value, the great value that needs to be attached to reputation and how that's important to include in this conversation. I think young people don't realize when they start posting stuff and images and exchanging pictures, the possibility of really doing some permanent damage to their relationships, to their reputation. So there are a lot of passages and principles that can be found back in God's Word that reach out and touch their online activities. But let me say, secondly, I think we need to be sure that they see that, that we go back and not just look at the principles, but that we connect them to the challenges. So that passage in Matthew 5 about looking and lusting, we need to tie that into this conversation about pornography. And when Paul talks about being wise in your use of time, we need to tie that to how much time that they're spending online and how foolish it is to let your life be lived digitally through the internet and how they need to be getting away from that kind of thing. Draw some comparisons between the time they spend looking at some social media site and the time they spend looking at God's Word, and talk about the question, how do we really want to be influenced in our lives? I wonder if I say all of that, some of us as parents are saying, that would be a little awkward for me because I'm probably spending too much time looking at my screen too. And that's okay. Can I make a suggestion? Tell your kids that. Listen, Dad's not doing real good with this either. Let's work on this together. I need to break away from my digital life and plug more into real life. We're going to work on that together. So it just sort of acknowledges that some of these conversations may be a little bit awkward, like sitting down and talking to your 10-year-old son about pornography. I think sometimes what we'd prefer to do is just sort of bury our head in the sand and say, he's going to be in that 7% that hasn't seen it by the time that he graduates, right? Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to be naive about this. Will you remember, 11 years old is the average age it starts. We've got to have the conversations. We're obligated by God to play the role of teacher in the lives of our kids. And so there's a vital work of teaching that needs to be done about their online activities. But once we've done that, once we begin looking at God's Word and seeing what God says, what needs to grow out of that are some rules to govern how we're going to behave. By the way, that's just an important life skill. That's what we all do with the Word of God. We read what God says to us. We know how He wants us to be and how He wants us to live. And we start making rules for ourselves, right? About how we ought to live our lives. We do that as adults. We need to train our kids to look to God's Word and find guidelines. I think that's part of the discipline process of Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's a training dimension to all of that. And that's what we're trying to do here, train our kids to follow what God says in His Word. So we need to make some rules. And again, so that we don't leave any stone unturned this morning, let's dig a little deeper and say, well, what kind of rules are we talking about? How about some rules about time? Remember, the average teen is spending 9 hours a day staring at their screen. Can we just sort of say that's a high watermark? I think when I say that, probably all of us are saying it should be less. So let's work down from there. We need to get our kids unplugged from their digital life. We're not going to get away from the fact, folks, that this is the world they live in. Social media is going to be there. The internet's going to be there. It's not going away. And so what we need to do with our kids is teach them how to use it in a constructive way. And so part of that is knowing how not to live there. We need to teach them to unplug from that part of their life. And if we're going to do that, can I just suggest that we need to be ready for some alternatives? Families need to start spending more time together. So maybe in addition to trying to get them out of their digital life, I'm going to get out too, and we're going to do something together. You know, I'm standing in a church building this morning, so I'm going to say that there should be some spiritual activities maybe that we pull into that. We do have a Bible reading program, Luke 13, this week, right? How about instead of so much time online, a little bit more time sitting down together as a family, doing the Bible reading together, working on Bible class lessons together, praying together as a family. We need something to put in the void, constructive things to put there. Because kids need to be trained to use this stuff in the right way. Hattie and I didn't do a very good job of that early on with our boys. Now, the problem with the internet, because when we were first raising our boys, that was just starting. And nobody had a cell phone when we were bringing up our kids. So that wasn't the issue we were wrestling with. But video games were. Now, listen, Heidi and I never played video games. We just weren't interested in that. Never felt the need to exercise my thumbs that much. So we just didn't have that at our house. It wasn't any kind of conviction against it. We just didn't do it. And so our boys didn't grow up with that. But as they got a little older and started hanging out at friends' house, they discovered video games. And I remember one mom coming to me, Jonathan had spent the night over at their house, and she was laughing. She said, you know, your kid spent 12 hours every day back in the bedroom playing video games. And I wasn't smiling. I thought, well, that's not good. She said he even faked being a little sick one time so he could go back and play. I thought, that's really not good. And our reaction to that may surprise you. What we did right after that is we had this conversation with each other and said, we're not training our kids to use that. And video games are going to be part of their life, right? So we went out and bought a game system. And we sat down and tried to train our kids to use it in a constructive way. For example, you could play games for as much time as you spend reading. It was sort of a bribe to read. Hey, it worked. They read. But we realize that's not going away. We got to train our kids to use that in the right way. We need to do that, folks. So there need to be some rules about time. Let me add, secondly, there need to be rules about the place where kids are going to be online. And I'll tell you why I say that. Privacy is a part of our problem here. That wasn't a big a deal when my kids were growing up because the computer was a big box. In our house, set in a cabinet that sat between the living room and the dining room. So it was out in the public part of the house. If our kids were going to get online, we were there watching. That's not how it is anymore, is it? It's a teenage boy with his phone back in his bedroom with the door closed, going online, surfing in a private mode that's now just a click of a button. That brings with it this feeling of anonymity. I'm going to go online. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see what I do. That is a significant part of our problem. And so we need to struggle here. Maybe the fundamental answer to this privacy problem is reminding kids that nothing is private. That great statement in Proverbs 5:21, that the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. Maybe doing a lot of emphasis with our kids about how God is always with you and he always sees is a big piece of that. Maybe maybe more open bedroom doors in the house is going to be useful. And maybe even the urging, if you're going to be online, we need you to be out of the bedroom. We need you to be in a more public place in the house. Maybe that will help too. And at the risk of alienating every young person at Kleinwood, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, that when mom and dad go to bed at night and the family is shutting down, teenage cell phones need to be on mom and dad's dresser, charging overnight in your room, not their room. Because about half of all kids have admitted sending illicit pictures of themselves to someone else. It's common practice these days. When do you think that's happening, folks? It just isn't good stuff going to happen with your kid and their cell phone when you've gone to bed back in their room. So there need to be some rules about place. And I'm going to spend a lot of time here because you know that there need to be rules about content, where they're going to go and what they're going to see, what they're going to look at. Need to talk about that. Need to have guidelines rooted in the teaching of God about those things. You know the numbers about the rules, to me, are among the most interesting parts about that. I alluded to this in the beginning. Because parents say, I am really plugged in. I am paying attention. And almost every parent says that. It's like 91%. But then you start asking about the rules that you have. Do you have this rule for your kid, this rule? And all of a sudden the numbers start going down. And then you ask kids, do your parents really pay attention? And most of them say, no, they're not. And so the truth is more likely that half or more of the kids in this country are wandering out into the digital Wild West with all those dangers, and mom and dad have given them no rules or instructions and aren't paying attention to what they're doing. And folks, that's just foolish. It's worse than that. It is irresponsible. There may be other families that are that way, but our family shouldn't be that way. Mom and dad need to make rules. And then tucked right in with those rules, there's a third thing that I think really is critical in this, and that is that mom and dad need to hold their kids accountable to the rules that are set. Again, going back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, if you look at that word discipline, I think accountability is a piece of that too. As we train them in how they're supposed to live life, that's, yes, making rules, but it's also making sure that they keep the rules. And listen, that requires something of me and you. Let me be candid about that. I chose to bring these babies into the world. And when I did, God saddled me with the responsibility to get them started in life right. And so I've got to pause from my life, maybe unplug from my digital life, and engage with my kids. I need to have a sense. How much time they're spending online? Apple actually helps you with that. It's odd that every Sunday morning, right about 9:05 as we're getting started, this screen pops up on my devices that tells me how much screen time I've had. I don't know why it chooses that time, but evidently Apple's trying to help us all out, figure out how much time we've been online. We need to know that. And we need to peek at our kids' social media accounts to know where they are, what kind of things they're posting and commenting on and liking and all of that. And we need to check phones, what apps are there, look at the history, the internet browser on the phone, peek around, where are they going, when are they going there, and what has been deleted since the last time I was peeking around here. Sometimes when I talk about accountability to parents, I get into trouble with kids. And occasionally, I've had some kids push back against that, and they've said, but that's an invasion of my privacy. So can I say just a word about privacy, real plain for a second? If you're living in your mom and dad's house and not paying rent and eating their food, and you have a phone that they bought, an internet service that they paid for, and they're paying for your phone plan, you have no right to privacy. Abandon that. Secondly, parents don't just have the right to know what's going on in your digital world. They have a responsibility. That's Ephesians 6 and 4, to know about those things and hold you accountable to do the right things. And thirdly, brothers and sisters, if I'm behaving honorably, Why should I have any concern about someone checking up on me? What's going on in my email or my Facebook or whatever, my TikTok, that I wouldn't want my parents to see? Right? I think this works a lot easier when you get this nailed down in advance. So with our boys, getting a laptop or a phone was conditioned on rules of accountability. So we'd sit down together and we'd talk about, what do you think the rules ought to be? I think it's great to let kids participate in that conversation. And we had some ideas. We were anxious to hear their ideas about that. And we talked about that. And what we said was, if you would like for us to buy you a cell phone and be on our plan, here are the rules under which we're okay with that. One of which is, we're going to hold you accountable. And frankly, when you don't have one yet, our boys were willing to say whatever we wanted them to say at that point, just so they could get the phone, right? Very agreeable on the front end. It works better there than trying to work that in on the back end. And listen, we were very open in our family about this. When I would go and check browser history on their laptops, I made sure I did it when they could see that I was doing it. Nothing going covert going on in this house. We do this. This is how our family is. Our son did question us one time about the trust thing. It wasn't about his online activity. He had said he was going somewhere one Friday night, and we happened to be over near where he was, and so we drove by and made sure that's where he was. His car was parked in front of that house, and it was. And when we got home, I told him that. I said, you know, we drove by, and I was pleased that you were where you said you were going to be. And you got that kind of sad puppy dog hurt look in his eyes. He said, you didn't trust me, Dad? I said, oh, no, I absolutely in my heart believed that you would be exactly where you said you were going to be. If you had not been there, I would have been devastated, because I absolutely was convinced you were out doing the right thing, doing what you said you were going to do. I just want you to know that periodically we are going to confirm that our trust in you is valid. Accountability is part of it. And then finally, let me just say a word about building good habits, because I think that's such an important part of this. We're not just raising kids to avoid the pitfalls. We're trying to bring them up to be dedicated disciples of the Lord. And so it isn't just avoiding potentially destructive habits. It's building constructive habits. We want our kids, for example, to be diligent Bible students. I think one of the most important skills parents teach their kids is to love the Word of God and know how to dig deeply and understand it. And then right after that, to build a meaningful habit of prayer, so they have this great devotional time they spend with God. And to be a passionate worshiper, that when they gather with other people, they lift up their praises to God. It isn't just a ritual exercise. It's really from the heart. Those are all really, really important habits I think we instill, constructive habits. But here's the thing. The thing I like about those is, as we get those instilled in our kids, there is this benefit for the other struggle. The more they build the good habits, the more it helps them not to fall into the bad habits. Can I illustrate that? Those things we just described, like study and prayer and worship, all of those things, brothers and sisters, are the fundamentals of a meaningful relationship with God. We want our kids to grow up feeling close and connected with God. And the more they feel that way, the more it is to hang on to a nasty, wicked habit. It is very hard to genuinely worship God from your heart on Sunday night and go home after mom and dad go to bed and look at pornography. I'm not saying you can't do it. It's just hard to do it. That's what you want. You want that to create all kinds of dissonance in the mind of your kids, a brain that says, I can't do this and that together. It doesn't work. And hopefully prayer wins out over the porn. The struggle is the essence of it. That's what happens when you really have a meaningful relationship with God. So we need to do the things that cultivate those relationships. And just as a practical matter, they serve as constructive distractions. One of the things about online gaming and social media trolling is it's just such an utter pointless waste of time, not constructive. I'm not trashing you gamers, but I am trashing the idea of living there. And so what we want to do is fill up life with stuff that is more constructive, and things like reading your Bible with your mom and dad, healthier habits that bless us. And then think about this as well. As I'm doing that, it's keeping me plugged into the Word of God. And as you're plugged into the Word of God, you find your way to around to passages like Matthew 5:28 that remind you of the need to be morally pure, Proverbs 4:23 that remind us how important it is to protect and keep the heart. And so as we're doing these healthy things, there are good reminders there that help us in the struggle that we're going through. And then finally, I think having that rich, meaningful relationship and being in His Word and with other people who are is a daily reminder of His presence. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, the only way somebody can go home and jump on their browser and start surfing pornography is to find a way to divorce from their mind the idea that God is seeing this. And so the more we get that brain stuck in the heads of our children, in our heads, the harder it is to get off down that other path. We want our kids to live every day with a powerful sense that the ways of a man, my ways, are before the eyes of the Lord. He is with me and He's watching all the time. I hope that'll help us as we struggle to help our kids manage their digital world. Let's get ready to sing the invitation song. Think about that idea of God's presence as we close today. I wonder, have we worshiped today with the sense that God from heaven looks and sees all that is going on in this place this morning? I wonder if we realize it right now, that God looks down on me and you, and He sees into our heart, and He knows where we are. He knows the people that are here and connected with Him and love Him, that strong tie, and He knows those of us who are here who are struggling or away from Him who need to come home. All of that is before the Lord, so nothing is hidden today. So maybe there is a need in your life to do what He already knows I need to do. That's come back and make things right with Him. Whether it's the first time by becoming a disciple or a returning disciple who's gotten off on the wrong path and is ready to get back to the right one. God of heaven watches this place right now, eager to see you make the right choice. Are you going to disappoint Him again? Or will you come back to Him? Make the right choice. Do that right now. Come down to the front while we stand. While we stand.